everybody, to another episode of Good Brothers Community Podcast right here in Churchill Smoke Shop. As always, I got my right-hand man, Mr. Preston Powell III.
Man, this is going to be funny.
It is already funny.
We got a special guest tonight. He, C. Darryl Neely.
Uncle Neely!
Game show.
Yeah. Man, glad to be here, man. Like, church, you know, not only is Jackson, Mississippi home, Churchill is home.
There you go.
Right,
you go.
Churchill is home. And so, well, I'm home, you know we come to Churchill. And if you come to Churchill, you've got to rock with the Good Brothers.
Right.
Even though we down here in the coach's corner instead of the scowl corner.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, for sure. But then, what you smoking today, man?
I ain't lit it up yet, but I'm going to try this GTO Hypnotic, you know, Dr. Oscar Rodriguez, Abe Brownfield, you know, I'm going to talk on this while we talk.
Right, and I'm also smoking a GTO. This is the 33 Oaks. This is the new one that they just released. I think I was smoking it Friday night. So good, had to get another
one. Room 101 for me. Good smoke.
Matt Booth.
That's
right. We've carried a lot of those. That's why when we first opened, we had the other humidor down there, 7x7, which everybody loves. Ton of those, but, you know, finally getting back now that he didn't left jury along and back to producing cigars. Mm-hmm. So guys, as we sit here talking today, and we got the pregame show, Neely, give us some insight, you know, on the pregame show and, you know, where is it going and, you know, what you see in the future with the pregame show and some of the things you're currently doing.
Well, you got me just about to light up, so let me get this
hey,
going.
Hey, we don't stop that at all.
Get that going first.
There you go.
pregame show. Well, you know, man, what started at Jackson State,
right?
You know, adopted by Coach Prime when he decided to move on to University of Colorado at Boulder.
Right.
Took a trip out, and then some opportunities opened up there.
Right.
To continue to cover him and players who transitioned from Jackson State, as well as some of their new recruits. But that primary focus, you know, it was going to be guys who were at Jackson State, or coaches that were at Jackson State, or even coaches that were at Mississippi, because, you know, you got Vincent Dancy, JSU alum, who's the head coach of Valley, who's at Colorado now. So just going to be documenting those stories, man, because this is literally something that has never happened before, not just in our lives.
Right.
It has literally never happened before
for an
HBCU coach to move up to the Power Five and take so many coaches with him, changing their lives. As well as a significant number of players that transferred as well.
And people in general, just people in general. You know, one of the things, you know, because, you know, people always ask, man, what's Neely doing here, Neely doing there? People don't understand your background when it comes to athletics. You know, I met you when we were in college. And then, you know, of course, we did some business stuff together. But we've always, athletics has always covered around everything we did. Now, most people, I guess most of us don't even know your relationship with, like, with Dak and other athletes that's currently in the NFL. You know, heck, started with basketball.
That's why I was smiling.
Yeah, so
because you played a little pro ball, and when you were here at Bellhaven, and we started a summer league for youth basketball.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
a lot of people look at Neely and think football, but really the roots are basketball.
Wow.
Preston and I started a youth development league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Above the Rim by Wayne Brent and Coach Chuck. That comes to Churchill.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And we were like a notch below them, catching those guys that fell through that crack.
Right.
You know, you wasn't playing.
It's almost like in football, you know, Above the Rim was like 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a camp for the 3 and 4 stars or the no stars. So that's where we started, man. Then that parlayed into working with Rick and at two different sports agencies, so you work with athletes like Dak Prescott, you know, Jelly, Justin Ellis, list goes on and on, and then the pregame show was born.
Right. Then don't forget your time.
That's real. You killed Nash and Buzz on the podcast.
I can't stand that goddamn Nash. I'm telling you, I'd rather have
walked. It's like you ever had a date over the house and the ropes walk by, and you're like, and you want to sit there like, how you going to say that? She don't say that. When I see it, I just hope he keep going.
Exactly.
That man, he ain't had to do that. Man.
Yeah. But you know, we forgot about your time assistant coaching in Meridian. I guess reason I Mendenhall. Reason I bring it up is because, you know, sometimes when you're talking to athletes and things like that, you know, we're older now, so they don't remember, hey, you know, I'm not telling you something I heard, like, oh, Chief said, I'll tell you something I know. But hey, man, you're going to encounter these things. I mean, a good example of that is, you know, what's going on with John Morant right now. You know, you can only just tell people things like, hey, man, I know what you're going to do. We all do it. But hey, this is what you have to do. This is what you got to look forward to. You know, is this worth it? This is what you want to do. You know, I hate it for him. And I saw Gilbert Arenas do a nice little talk on it. Talk about that he thinks it's going to take him at least 3 years before he can even start to rebuild himself back to be the the athlete that they can, you know, hang their banner on, which I don't know if that will ever happen again.
You know, I'm going to kind of lean. I didn't hear, you know, what Gilbert said, but I'm going to kind of lean toward Gilbert. It takes about 3 to 5 years from a marketing standpoint. Right. For brands to want to trust you enough,
you know,
because here's a guy who's relatively new to the league, and he messed up. It's going to take about that same amount of time or double to get people to know the new you, and believe they can invest in it. But you know, one thing about the social media era,
right,
it's short memories, man.
Right.
It'll be a new story next week on somebody else that'll pale that in comparison. But you just have to stay consistent. And I wish the young brother the best.
Yes, always.
But you know. Speaking of like Coach Prime, Boulder, Jackson State, my experience with other athletes, that's really how all this came to be with the pregame show. You know, when I was working in sports agencies, my role was helping the guys make better decisions. And you know, I didn't train them how to run a better 40.
Right.
You know, I trained them on their decision making and who they socialize with and how to carry themselves in a professional manner. And that's how Coach Prime and I even hooked up at Jackson State, because I was doing that same role for student athletes at Jackson State, right, helping them with their interview skills, helping them navigate life, you know, being a friend of the program. And I literally met Coach Prime through Shador.
Yeah, I remember. You know,
it was helping with his recruitment process at Jackson State and getting settled here. That Shador is like, hey, Dad, this is a good dude. You need to get to know him, kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and that's where it started at.
Well, Neil, if I can ask this question.
You can ask anything, bro.
well, do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our listeners, especially for those listeners that got kids who are currently being recruited, the importance of being socially positive with their interactions on social media.
Oh, my God. Like, Chad, you know. you just pulled out a document in 93 where you were that dude, you know, Blue Chips, as right. we used to call them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was before social media. And so right. all people had on you was game film and interviewing your teachers and that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, now what you post follows you.
Right.
And let's keep it thou wow.
Okay.
Right.
Keep it a bean.
We got to. Coaches have one job, and that's to win.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then comes the credibility and the character of the program, what right. the program looks like.
Right.
Because most coaches, wherever they are,
right.
that's not where they're going to be. They're moving up in the world, too.
Right.
So if you are a defensive lineman and you have a suspect social media presence,
right.
now you that dude.
Right. Right.
You realize there's 50 other that dudes that don't have a social media presence. Like
yeah, that's a big thing.
So if I have to offer a kid, why would I risk my livelihood, my profession, my upper mobility on a guy that waves a gun on social media or uses the N-word on social media or is degrading to women on social media?
Right.
I don't want to have to manage that.
Right, of course.
Like, it's like Bruce Lee said about water. We're going to take the path of least resistance.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to have to deal with that. So the least that you give a coach to have to deal with, the more likely that coach is going to be attracted to what you bring to the table athletically.
Yeah, and me personally, and I've had the very honor and privilege, you know, to coach, I'd rather take a zero star and not turn into a superstar. That's my mentality.
Yeah.
Because character, high morals, you don't, you can teach that, but those are innate qualities.
And social media put you on a short leash. I mean, if you come around, you come in with some bad stuff on social media, I mean, you ain't got no mess up. And look, I'll be first day. I mess up in college like everybody else.
No footprint of it.
But this day and age, you don't have that leeway. And, you know, the part I have a problem with is we know what it is now. We know, I mean, you can see it as older men. We see it is when people say, well, you just got to let them be you. if that's what you want to do, but you can't tell me you want to be the guy and want to be you. That's not how being the man works.
No,
it's a big responsibility.
It is. It is. And like some of the professional athletes that I've worked with have had to encourage them to understand you can still be with your friends, but you have to understand you're different from your friends.
Right, right.
You know, exactly. And you have to have friends who understand that.
Exactly.
Like, we can't lose you.
Right.
You know, I remember back in the day, when Michael Vick got caught with the weed in the airport, which would be a no big deal 20 years later.
Right.
But okay, you want to travel weed, man, why your partner ain't got it?
Right.
Like, if y'all just absolutely got to take it, like, you got to keep in mind, it's 20 years ago, you didn't have dispensaries and legalization.
Right.
You just absolutely got to travel with it. Why he ain't got it?
Right.
Why the cash guy got it?
Right.
So just better decision making and understanding, you know, that the people around you have to protect that lead, that bell cow, that, you know, the lead dog, because everybody else's success is hinging on him and his protection. Or you can surround yourself with people who aren't going to encourage you to do foolishness or don't want to pull your coattail to it, and you just want to be the cool guy in the group and be the man. Those careers are short-lived.
Man, you know, it's kind of the irony of all that is, you know, when we were young, I can remember playing in the parks in New Orleans. Them older guys, they'll tell you, hey, look, man, you need to go over here. We finna go do this.
Yeah.
This ain't for you. You need to go. Even though you were hanging with them, you were balling with them, and we were having a good time on the park, they'll tell you, quick.
Yeah, you had a sense of you had a sense of community. And
Because
I want you to make it.
Right. You can't get involved with what we doing.
Now you got people who will laugh at you when you fall.
Oh, man.
They're around you to encourage you
to
fall.
They wait for you to fall.
Yeah.
Instead of creating an environment that you grow, they sit there and watch this. I knew he wasn't done. Well, you created the environment for him to be nothing.
Right.
Instead of, you know, putting some guardrails up around him. So all that kind of stuff is important. At the end of the day, nothing going to trump personal responsibility.
No. Like
accountability.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like you, but it starts with, you know, that, but then who you got around you, who's in your inner circle.
Right.
Who's influencing you or you influencing them.
And look, and you know, let's just be honest. There's a standard. We didn't create that standard, but that's what it is. You can take one or two paths. Either you adjust to what it is, or you just say, "Hey, okay, I'm not going to deal with it. This is who I am." And this, but when you do that, your expectations got to change. So, and I think that's just in life, that's in business, that's in politics, that's in everything. There's something. I remember when you're I ain't gonna say that all because I won't cuss.
You already cussed once already. Right. Cussed about that bug.
But
ain't that your podcast? Yeah. Like, can he cuss? Don't you cuss?
You
ain't offended me.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, where we want certain, it's just in life, people want certain things, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get those certain things. You'll see, I can see Chad with some, and I say, I want what Chad had, but I'm not willing to work like Chad.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not willing to keep the standard like Chad.
Sure.
I see that across the board.
But that's one of the key components. I've talked with a guy, stellar athlete, you know, JPS legend, Jackson State legend, all of that. And I ain't shining you up like that's just legit. And also when the coaching, Chad understands, and you understand from your coaching days, that's what coaching is.
Yeah,
is
right.
To get you to do something you don't want to do to accomplish what you say you want to accomplish.
To be successful.
Yeah, like I want to be the starting QB.
Right.
But I don't want to wake up at 4 in the morning.
Right.
That's
right,
what coaching can do. Personal accountability kicks in. But also coach, because I got to motivate you to do something that you don't want to do. Because, man, like, Chad, you play D-line, O-line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you first start out in a little league and you go out there on that field and they got balls out there and they got tackling dummies out there and they got sleds out there.
Right.
Don't nobody run toward them sleds.
Mm-mm.
Like, you have to be coached into playing the position. Like, hey, big man, come let me show you how to hit this.
I didn't want to do it.
Everybody want to throw the ball, run the ball, catch the ball.
Right.
You have to be coached into, like, no, man, you're suited for this. I don't want to do that, though.
Right.
Don't nobody out here want to do it. They want the results.
Wasn't that James Houston that wanted to play inside?